This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I used to spend my summers at my grandparents' home.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Clears the 30, Jace Cannon turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man in purple, supporting his Kansas State Wildcats after a big win over the Coyotes of South Dakota this past weekend, Mr. Steve Sell.
Boy, did they, I did not see that game, and I really haven't had time to read up on it, but that score really surprised me. I thought that would be a Wildcat runaway, and I'm going to have to do a little research on that game and see what happened, because I'm the guy that's really stuck his neck out there, ballyhooing K-State, a top three in the Big 12. But when they beat Mississippi State this week, a ranked team, all will be forgotten about that season opener.
Steve, this is an exciting show today. As you can see, most days when I have a show, and when we go on the air, I have a big page of notes, and at least an idea of some things to bounce off and work off of. But today, I don't need any notes.
No.
What a weekend.
Oh, man, did we
the have first weekend of college football, the first weekend of high school football, getting ready for the NFL as the Chiefs have made their 53-man roster. I don't really know where to start today besides, okay, well, I do know where to start.
High school football for
Friday. Yeah, 21-0 McPherson
High win. Show, we didn't have a show yesterday, and maybe some people
we're all backed up.
And maybe the, yeah,
oh,
literally.
Oh.
But anyway, for the people who didn't hear our coaches show on Saturday, had a great coaches show on Saturday. It was a night of winning, as they like to say.
Who's they?
The county, the area schools. They.
You mean Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Tiger Blood?
But you know,
winning?
I always find it, you talk to people and they say, well, they said, they never qualify who they is. That's always been one of my pet peeves when people say they and they don't have any attribution to they. But they, you know, the high school football season on Friday, they were excited because
a lot of winning.
Other than the two area teams playing each other, all the area teams were victorious. We had some great wins, maybe some unexpected wins.
Some overtime wins.
Maybe some unexpected margins. What about the Inman Teutons? Down 30-10 in the third quarter. Get off the deck. Get the game tied. Win it in overtime. Congratulations to Coach Sawyer. I know he's excited. He's already turned back his information for this week's pre-seed. Good for the Inman Teutons. They were 0-9 last year, lost some close games, had just an incredible run of injuries last year. But Coach Sawyer is a good coach. He's proven he can win. He'll get things going down there in Teuton land.
Well, probably most important for us and for our listeners was the 21-0 win over Salina South for the McPherson Bullpups. And when we were going into that game, before kickoff, my prediction was 24-6. I believe Steve's was 28-14.
Right.
And when you said Salina South was going to score 14 points, I kind of had to roll my eyes at you. Because I had seen what this McPherson defense, just in the preseason, I had seen what their ceiling could be. But the way that that defense played on Friday night, I don't know if anybody was expecting it to be that dominant. And that was against maybe the best offensive line that they'll see this year. For sure, the offense was going up against the best defensive line that they'll see. But
the Bullpups will not see a better defense than what Salina South had. Salina South, for those that didn't go to the game, They had two defensive linemen. They're going to play at the next level. Somewhere in college, I don't know what level it'll be. I know one of them's getting recruited D1.
Yeah.
But those two guys were absolute men in there.
But the thing we learned is that this bullpup defense might not give up much of anything the entire year. Because you look at the rest of their schedule, they knocked out one of their toughest opponents and one of the toughest offenses that they're going to have to go up against this year in week one. And not just knocked out, allowed less than 100 yards total, allowed negative yards rushing.
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't see that kind of performance coming. You've been going out to practice, but it's kind of hard to get a gauge when you're going up against each other in practice. You know the plays that are coming. But I don't think, as far as this defense, teams are not going to run on this defense.
No.
If teams have success, it's going to be because they have a really good quarterback.
But is that quarterback going to have any time to throw?
I was just getting ready to say, given that, the McPherson front six, we should say, four down linemen, two linebackers, poor Taron Galloway. I got to almost feeling sorry for that sophomore quarterback by the end of the game when it was evident the Bullpups had totally disdained the run. They knew they weren't going to run. They pinned their ears back. And I love what assistant coach and defensive coordinator Chet Harlan did. He brought blitzers from every angle possible. Mason Thrash, Bryson Labertue, Keaton Stockham, who all, by the way, are underclassmen. They were just coming from everywhere. And what can you say about that D-line? Khalil Lisbon, Cody Stufflebean, hardly going to be a better pair. But then you throw in Tanner Pacey, who is one mean dude, Noah Avila, and Dawson Van Gotham, and Drew Hankin.
Yeah.
Got some time. And what grade is he, a junior or sophomore?
I think sophomore.
Well, he's an underclassman. But he came in and did a good job, too. That front group just teed off on Taron Galloway, who is a very good athlete.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, you know, Winfield's quarterback is Casey Crandall. And unless he's had a growth spurt, what is he,
5'7", 135.
5'7", 135.
But those McPherson coaches, they love watching him. Because he runs hard.
Yeah. But 5'7", 135, can you imagine when 6'4", 280-pound Khalil Lisbon grabs him and just, like, makes him just a ink spot? I mean, he'll be rubbed out. Boy, Winfield did not score a touchdown in their first game.
They played a very weird game with Ark City this weekend. They got up ahead 3-0, kicked a field goal early on in the first half. Ark City couldn't really move the ball. Ark City opens up the second half with an onside kick and recovers. Goes down the field, takes a 7-3 lead. They then onside kick again and don't get it. Winfield goes down and has a pass intercepted near the goal line. They didn't score a touchdown. They only had about 130 yards of total offense. It's a team that returns a lot of guys, and they have a lot of athleticism.
They return a lot of guys from a team that's won 3 games in 2 years, though.
And that's part of it. And so McPherson will be going to Winfield and then to El Dorado in these next 2 weeks.
And here's the thing, though. Coach Pav said it after the game. We have suffered from week two blues.
He's never won a second week game.
He's never won a second week game. We put so much into that first game every year. You know, the Salina South game from a couple years ago, the Bueller game last year. I don't even remember the 2016 opener. You remember that game?
Well, 16 would have been May South.
I'm sorry.
Again.
2015 was Salina South. So the week two blues, the Bullpups are feeling good about themselves. Let's just hope they're not feeling too good about themselves. But I was talking with somebody yesterday. If I'm on that Bullpup defense, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. After you shut out Salina South and you look at the other teams on the schedule, what would it be like to just run off donut after donut after donut? You know, shutout after shutout after shutout. I mean, it could happen. It could really happen. I'm not kidding. When you look at our schedule, and if those guys play with the ferocity and the intensity that they did in week one and tackle the way they did, it's going to have to be kind of a freak play, I think, for opposing teams. It's going to be a long pass. teams are not going to run on this football team. This McPherson defense against the run. Now, I had them for 2 yards. I think the coaching staff had them for -6. You got to remember, though, sometimes there's plays in there where you get credit for a carry and then the penalty, you know, because of spot foul.
Right.
So you got to remember those things. You don't just take – but anyway, either way you cut it, they were 2 yards or less rushing in that first game. And that's a Salina South team with a big offensive line and a decent running. I think Quill, the running back, has actually got some pretty decent talent. And Garrett, actually, why Garrett didn't carry the ball more, I don't know. He had 3 carries for 19 yards. So I know he was a receiver, but I would have just kept – jet sweep was kind of their best play, and they got away from it.
How about this, Steve? So you mentioned the week two blues for this McPherson team. And out of practice, that's what Coach Pav told the varsity guys yesterday after practice. He said, look, this is a Winfield team that we could go out and put it to them quick, run away with it, come home. Or this is a team that has enough talent that if we are not ready, they could put it to us. So how about this? The number I had in my head was 3 consecutive losses in week two. But it's more than that. It's 6.
Really?
So they lost both years to May South, 17 and 16. Both years to Andale,
that's 14
right. And 15.
That's right.
Both years to Hayes, 12 and 13. So this is a team that has not won a week two game since 2011. And part of that has to do with, well, 6 years in a row, they had a very tough week game.
Yeah.
But I think in a couple of those years, when you put so much effort into week one, it's hard to move that over into week two.
Right.
But I think this team realizes that. This team, this coaching staff, they realize we got to be ready to go week two on the road.
Here's the other thing. You look at that week one, the offense did not play what I would call a great game.
No.
Coach Pav said it himself after the game. We were very average on offense. Remember, we're breaking in a new offensive line, kind of struggled a bit in the first half.
And against a good team, good defense.
Got better and better and better as the night went along. I really believe week two, we're going to see an avalanche of bullpup points.
There you go.
I really do. I think it's going to – I just got a feeling this game's going to be like – we played a game down there. I can't remember what year it was. I think the final might end up like 41-0 or something like that.
Well, 2 years ago, it was 46-0.
But I think it was like 27-0 at the end of a quarter. That's a game that we just came out and jumped all over them. And that game was over. I think we had like a block kick in that game, an interception. We were up like 20-0 like 5 minutes into the game. 2 turnovers. Offense moved at will. I just got a feeling if the Bullpups aren't too full of themselves after that first win, which is easy to do because they were impressive, and they look at Winfield.
When you throw a donut up, you start to feel good.
Yeah, yeah. And I like donuts. I really like donuts. I like them a lot.
Steve, we have a big show today. We get to talk a little bit about McPherson College and their great game against Bethany from Saturday night. We'll talk about
crowd.
That.
Yeah, great crowd for that game.
Then, after our break, I want to talk about your Kansas Jayhawks.
Ew.
And I want to talk about my solution, my plan.
Oh, okay.
For what can be changed what can happen.
You're going to tell your buddy Jeff Long, the old
I've already emailed him.
Okay.
And said, hey, Jeffrey, here's my idea.
Yeah,
him and I, Arkansas people.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you my plan. Okay. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, we talked about it last week. Your fearless forecast prediction was a 1-point KU win. And I said, It's not going to happen. With mighty, mighty Nichols State coming to Lawrence, the Jayhawks, your Jayhawks, laid an egg. Now, some people that might be KU fans are saying, well, why aren't you making fun of K-State? They barely beat South Dakota. They just won 27-24. Repeat that. They won.
Yeah.
They didn't lose.
Yeah.
They won the game.
Right.
It's okay to play bad. And it's okay to barely beat bad teams. But what is very hard to overcome is David Beatty starting his fourth year with a 3-33 record and one FBS win.
Yeah.
He knows going into a game like that at home, it might be their only chance to win.
Right.
And that you have 9 months to prepare for this game.
Exactly.
9 months to get ready for mighty, mighty Nichols State. And they know him, his coaches, his players, the administration, the fans. Everybody at Memorial Stadium knows if he does not win this game,
he's gone.
Then they're in big doo-doo.
Yeah.
And to come out and kind of like what I was saying with K-State, it's okay if you lose a game and there's just bad breaks. You get bad penalties called on you all night. You have a bunch of interceptions that tip out of your guys' hands and run down the field for a touchdown. If there are just bad breaks, you can at least accept it. But to line up and just get your butt kicked by Nichols State, get out-coached, out-played, out-prepared, that's where the problem is.
I have not seen the replay of the game.
It wasn't good.
But everybody I've talked with, well, they had five snaps either on the ground or over the quarterback's head.
It's never great.
That's not good. From the accounts I read, Nichols State actually gift-wrapped 10 points for the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing I don't understand. The two KU running backs both averaged 5.5 yards a carry.
That ain't bad.
So why didn't they continue to run the football? Of course, if you don't snap it to the center or the quarterback.
Yeah, that makes it hard,
too. Yeah, it makes it a little hard. But they had defensive linemen, I was told.
Oh, they were never ready.
Six or seven plays, they're looking around at the D-backs when the ball's being snapped. This is Keystone Cops. This is just, I'm sure Jeff Long watched that game and said, I've heard horror stories.
I wish I was back in Arkansas.
Yeah, he's heard horror stories. And again, I like David Beatty. I like his enthusiasm. But after the game, it's like he knows. He's just going, now which game are they going to fire me after? Because that's what he's doing now. I fully expected, honest to goodness, when I came in Sunday morning to do all my work, hit the internet, Beatty fired.
I expected it too.
I really did. And I think they're giving him one more chance. Why, I don't know.
See, here's the thing, Steve.
But, I mean, what good does it do to fire him after the first game?
I'll tell you what good it does.
I'm thinking you got to wait until after the non-conference schedule's over, but that's just me.
If Jeff Long, the KU athletic department, the presidents, the chancellors.
David Booth.
If they want to tell their fans and their boosters, look, guys, we're committed to winning. If that's the message they want to tell them, then sending David Beatty back with the team and getting them ready for Central Michigan this week is not relaying that message. So that's kind of why I thought he would get fired. You have 9 months to prepare for Nichols State, and you're not ready. So here's my solution, Steve. And this is you weren't around me as much when I was preaching this 2 years ago. That in order for KU to get back into some sort of relevance, they have to do something different. Because they claim to be this aerial attack team, this high-powered spread.
Air raid.
Which they're not.
Right.
They got to do something different. And maybe part of my solution here is, with the coaching search, I think they need to do something different too. And what my suggestion would be, well, after they lose to Central Michigan this week and they fly back from Detroit or wherever Central Michigan is, them come out Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, we're moving on from David Beatty, and here's why. And then be very open about this process and say, look, we can't get the football program back if we continue to throw that out there. So this whole season Instead of starting this coaching search in November, December, we're starting it on September 9th.
Right.
We're going to interview everybody we possibly can, and so that way, we get the person we want in here as soon as possible, and they get this program going, because we've had enough. And them not come out and say, look, we need to do better. Turn around and say, look, guys, believe in us. We're moving on from these last 10 years because it's been horrible. Be very forward about it. Come out and say, we're going to interview every single person we can. And so that way in December, they hire the right person because they've missed three times in a row.
Well, when David Beatty got hired, I mean, it was a generally panned.
You know what's a bad idea, Steve? Is to hire a head football coach in the Big 12 that has never been a head football coach in the Big 12, in the Sun Belt, in the MAC.
Right.
You know how I can see that the most? Is when they get into close games.
He doesn't know what to do.
They don't know what to do. Well, nobody does.
They're hardly ever there.
That's why you hire coaches that have been head coaches if you are a Power 5 school.
You hear Les Miles. You hear Brett Bielema, but Bielema.
Big B.
He likes the NFL game, is what I've heard. Because isn't he with the Patriots or
something? He is.
And he likes the NFL game, so I don't think they'll get him. But there's got to be somebody out there. You know, they had a chance. When they hired David Beatty, Justin Fuente, they could have got him.
Yeah, they kicked Florida State's butt last night, yeah. Virginia Tech.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Fuente wanted the job. He was the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. I think they know what they're doing down in Oklahoma. And they take David Beatty. I mean, what, receivers coach?
The recruiting coordinator?
Yeah. A&M receivers coach. Granted, you know, he had a tie to the school. Oh, he was going to bring in all these blue chippers from Texas. Yeah, right. What a joke.
It's bad.
Oh, it reeks.
Now,
it stinks.
The people that are sitting around going, oh, get rid of the football program. No, just find a coach that'll win.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
It's been done.
UCF was 0-12 3 years ago. Last year, they were 13 or 14-0.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
To get somebody to go win you four games.
Yeah.
But that's my solution. Get rid of them now. Start the coaching search immediately.
Yeah. It's
and do something different.
And speaking of K-State, you talked about K-State. Bill Moses Snyder.
You find the right guy, you can use him for a long time.
Yeah. Bill Moses Snyder will get it straightened out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Alex Barnes isn't going to fumble three times.
When Mississippi State comes to town on Saturday afternoon, Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
Hey, I'll be up for that.
Memorial Stadium is going to be rocking.
Or the Bill.
Well, yeah, why'd I call it Memorial Stadium?
That's KU.
Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
The Bill, as we call it.
Is going to be rocking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Family Stadium.
Yeah, family.
All right, Steve, we're almost out of time today. We're flying through.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to take our final break. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Nextech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Steve, it's a busy day. It feels like a Monday.
It does.
Because I've been sitting around watching football.
Right.
All weekend long.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Feels good.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about the Chiefs later on this week as they get ready for week one. And maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about their new 53-man roster and all the moves that have been made. But before we go, what a fun Saturday night at McPherson Stadium.
Really was.
The Bulldogs beat Bethany, and the two guys that I think you and I had our eye most on, and a lot of people at McPherson Stadium, the two freshmen from McPherson High that we saw all last year, Colin Gearing, Ben Nickel, in their first collegiate games, put on a show.
Not bad.
Not bad. A touchdown catch on your first grab, and then 13 tackles as a freshman.
For Gearing.
Pretty
Nickel
good weekend.
Actually caught two. One of them was called back.
That's right.
He had one of them called back, so Ben Nickel making his mark as a receiver. But Colin Gearing, I thought maybe he might get KCAC Defensive Player of the Week, but a guy from St. Mary had three interceptions and six tackles. That's pretty tough to overlook. But Colin Gehring, he belongs. And like Coach Merck said after the game, that Gehring kid's pretty good, isn't he? You know, that's what he said to us, and had a little twinkle in his eye. And
isn't it nice to see that connection, though?
Right.
And that was one thing that I heard from a lot of people this weekend, is that the high school and the college have never had that chemistry. They've never had this connection.
And Colin French in the offensive line.
That's right.
Colin French paving the way for a nearly 200 yards on the ground.
And you look at what Coach Pav, Coach Merck, the two best nicknames in the area, those guys have such a good relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And this has just blown the door open for Bullpups to become Bulldogs.
Exactly.
What an exciting first night. A ton of the high school guys were there watching their former teammates. Pretty fun night and a 30-13 win.
Yeah. Even saw some Bullpups that are out and playing elsewhere. They were at the game.
They were shining.
Yeah.
And excited to see Ben Nickel, Colin Gehring. They posted a bunch of the audio and some of the video from our call, like Ed Crouch running around the field for 48 yards for a touchdown. So go out onto the McPherson College Football Twitter, where Steve tends to lurk, and you'll be able to see some of it. Fun weekend, but Steve, this is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah. We got a long way to go.
This upcoming week, we got the NFL. We got college.
And if you go to Mid-Kansas,
we got high school.
Tomorrow on midkansasonline.com, sell on sports, see who I'm picking to win the Super Bowl. It might surprise you.
The Chiefs?
No.
The Raiders?
No.
The Browns?
No.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No.
The New York Jets?
Let's just say it's not a big surprise.
Patriots.
It's not a big surprise. I'm not going to tell you.
Ooh.
I want you to read it. Wait and read it. Because our website, by the way, exploded last week.
In a good way.
In a good way. MidKansasOnline.com is red hot.
Oh, yeah.
The sports was just up thousands. You could tell high school football, high school sports were back. We had thousands of more hits than we had the week
before.
Because
Steve's pretty great.
No, I'm not great. We just have great readers. That's what I like.
We're going to call you great, Steve. Yeah. You are great.
No.
Believe it.
No.
Be great.
Well, but anyway, we just want to thank everybody for going to midkansasonline.com because it just erupted last week, especially on the sports hits. And, of course, we had Sports Gallery last week.
Oh, yeah.
Kendall Shaw, the K-Man. Boy, you get some great stuff last week.
As always. All right, tomorrow, Chiefs talk, getting ready for the NFL to start on Thursday. Thursday, of course, is a Bullpup Football Preview Thursday. Friday, we've got Fearless Forecaster and Predictions. Big week coming up, so don't miss anything. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.